Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to Light in the Darkness.
Off Topic. Off Topic episodes are a sub-series within the Greater Light in the Darkness podcast, where Daniel and I have a chance to have conversation that strays away from our normal supernatural and paranormal fare. These are our day-in and day-out conversations. The only difference is, this time, we set up the microphones. We're recording it, so you can take a listen.
So consider yourself invited to the digital campfire, if you will. The microphones are on, the coffee and the throat coat tea are also here and hot. And my butt would be comfortable, but my cushion is literally over there, so...
The chairs are back to semi-comfortable.
Here we are.
Not that they ever really escalated from semi-comfortable. I don't care. You started adding all the fancy cushion words when we do these off topics, but they don't really help that much. It's still just a steel folding chair with a cushion.
Spoken like a man with an old cushion. Mine is fresh and spry from the Mac Bizzle.
I sat on your cushion. It's the same as mine.
You never sit on another man's cushion. What, do you want to drive my car next?
Why is that a thing for you?
I don't know. Well, talking about things that are also a thing for me, I have a thing for stickers.
Stickers?
Stickers.
I don't think stickers. When have stickers ever come up on the podcast before?
Gosh, wasn't it a bit we did early on with the old mics or something?
Maybe.
They were like 2.5 by 3. They were like polyvinyl sorbet something. Oh, but gosh. Do you have one? Do you want one? Well, they're 3.5 by 3.5. The uses are limitless. Anything ugly, almost anything ugly, you can put one of these on and make it better.
You know, there are so many uses for our stickers.
Here
I just discovered one the other day.
Uh-oh.
You know, I was working yesterday, and our coworker, Matt, from episode 3, The Winged Beast, was talking to Emma. You guys know Emma.
Lower your voice. These mics are expensive, woman. Jeez.
They were talking, and Matt got a call, and apparently... someone was driving down their road with a trailer, and the trailer done came loose and went through their fence. And I tell you what, they weren't using the safety chains, and they wouldn't have needed the safety chains if they would have attached that trailer with a 3.5 inch by 3.5 inch Light in the Darkness sticker.
So just to recap here, the trailer done come loose.
The trailer done come loose.
And just barreled into the fence.
Barreled. Barreled.
Even this South Carolina boy is just taken aback by the verbiage. I love it. Well, there you have it, folks. That's right. Safety chains. These stickers could possibly, and we don't legally endorse, replacing safety chains. But I'll tell you one thing. As that trailer barreled through that fence, I bet you they stood around it and stared. One might even say they communed.
One might say they had the Eucharist?
The table.
On the bumper of the trailer, maybe they had some crackers and juice?
The Lord's Supper? Which leads us to tonight's topic, communion.
So, So, Danny boy, Danny boy.
Yes.
Oh, Danny boy. As many times as I've called you Danny boy on the podcast, I don't think I've ever sang that.
I think our friendship roughly started with you learning a different line, coming back to my department at the company, and singing as far as you had gotten each day.
It sounds so
awesome. I thought it was. You know me and flattery.
That's a word for I'm how that fan. Sounds. It sounds when you say it like.
Okay, I'll be honest.
That's how the bromance started. Some wooing, some serenading. Yeah.
Day one, I was like, okay, it'll be funny. When you committed, I'm not going to lie.
Day five or six of me coming with a new line.
I mean, different verses. There was a little respect, but. You know, we began to commune at my workstation and have these moments. Isn't that funny? There's something special about the gathering. So, communion. We all, well, to the believers out there, you've walked in on a Sunday and you know in a couple of different ways that it's going to be communion Sunday. Number one, if you're walking in from the back of the sanctuary and you see the carts loaded down with the prepackaged, you know, juice and wafers.
That's at the modern contemporary services where they don't want to get all the volunteers to take the time. They don't want to buy those little squeeze bottles that, you know, the little squeeze bottles. Oh, yeah. Like it's like the little nozzle has like a 90 degree turn in it so you can hold it sideways and squeeze it in there.
Or my personal favorite and less sanitary version, there is several loaves of bread under a white cloth at the front of the church. And you go up and you rip a piece off and you dip it in the big glass of juice. And some churches, never one that I've been to, wine, which was always a thing for me when my friends would come to church. Oh, communion Sunday. We get sacramental wine. I'm like, seriously, we get Welch's.
And in some churches, you come down and you line down, you form a line in front, and every person goes past the priest or pastor, and they administer the communion elements. And it was always interesting to me that if you wanted the priest to directly put it in your mouth, you would cross your arms over your chest and just open your mouth and stick out your tongue, and the priest would put the wafer on your tongue for you.
I experienced that at a mass that I went to for my buddy's birthday. That's what he asked of me. We had to go last, if I remember correctly, because he hadn't been confirmed. And I, you know, was a Pentecostal boy in a Catholic church. So, yeah, we had to go last. But that is what happened.
At least they let you go.
Yeah, apparently. And sometimes they don't. I don't know how, like, ironclad that is, but that's something funny with communion. The more I've been digging in over the past several days, there's parts that we all have our own take on, and this is one of them. You know, what we eat, what we drink, what we actually believe happens during the ceremony. But getting back to where I was, it's, you know, essentially when you see that cart, like we were talking about in the squeeze bottles, or you see somebody off to the side pouring the cups, but you know, okay, today we get to eat in church. And being a Church of God boy growing up, like you had somebody's grandma who might open a peppermint during the loud part of the song, or if the Holy Spirit started moving, because you didn't make noise and you didn't eat in church. And so the fact that we got to was like, I don't know, it was always like we were getting away with something. But what I think I missed it for a long time. I stood, I listened to the pastor talk, but there were just years where you only know what you know.
Mm-hmm.
It went by and I didn't have a reverence. Was that you also, or did it take at an earlier age for you? Early 20s for me is when it took.
No, I remember like the first time taking communion and like clicking. My mom like looked at me and laughed because I heard the pastor for like the first time call it the blood of Jesus. And I took my little juice cup and I held it up to the light and I was like looking at it. I was like, that don't look like blood to me. Sure does smell like Welch's.
He's been drinking too much water. This is thin.
But I don't know if I ever approached it with like any level of irreverence or any level of casualness. I don't know if I did, but I don't know if I always approached it with the solemn reverence that I think that it's worthy of now that I'm a little older. So I don't know if I have a definitive time that I can point to where I started like recognizing its importance. I definitely do now, though.
Sure. So
At a young age, I think I did the thing we all did when we had the little plastic cups. You'd get them stuck on your tongue. You would leave them lying everywhere. And as an adult, Abby and I went to a dinner theater. And I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. And it was in town. It's Narrow Way. It's wonderful if you're in the area. And it's a Christian dinner theater. They were doing The Crucifixion of Jesus. I had seen that play so many times in my life. I had had the scriptures read to me, and that was the realest I'd ever seen it, though. And I remember just weeping when they put Jesus on the cross, and something hit, something carried weight with me in that moment. Like, he did that for us. When that happened, that kind of carried over. The following Sunday where we took communion, I remember feeling differently. I went back to that moment of the screams, and I don't mean to be morbid, but the fact of it's awful what he went through for us, but he did it because he loved us. And then there was this reverence that came of, do this in remembrance of me. I remember having a new weight on my shoulders, you know, when I put that weight fur on my tongue. I remembered drinking the juice and seriously having this moment of, Father, I am thinking of you. I am so grateful that you did this, because you made it so easy to come to you with these things. And you know, I saw my grandparents, they would take communion at their house. I never understood why that was important. I thought, okay, they don't get out and go to church a lot, so they're going to do it at their house. But there's something special about
it. Yeah, there is.
There's this element of coming together. And I think as the body of Christ, we don't have too many like ritualistic things in the spirit-filled denominational and non-denominational church. You and I were talking about this earlier. There's baptismal. There is communion, and I could be missing something, but
generally there's going to be some sort of a child dedication.
Yeah.
Or they may call it christening or sure. Baby baptism. Or there's generally something like that, some sort of a ritual of,
yeah.
Although we don't even like calling it ritual because that sounds pagan, but that it is what it is. It's a ritual.
It's sacrament, even if you like that word better. It's just, you know, we don't have too many of those things, but there's something special when we all come together. When we commune, we're all sitting in that sanctuary in agreement. You know, we've come together to declare faith, to remember the Savior of the world and what he did. In these past couple of days, you know, in reading, I've come across some stuff that has even challenged where I was at on communion. I've had a slight, call it revelation if you want, that could be a strong word, but reverence has developed in me that wasn't there even before. So in some churches, and if it happened in the ones I attended, I don't remember, and that's okay, that's on me. There is a very light, but at the same time, almost warning, if you will, not to take communion lightly. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think I've ever been in a service where that was given, but I know the scripture reference roughly where that warning would come from.
Okay, see, that makes me feel a little better, because I spoke to several individuals over the past couple days. I just wanted to see different people's take on communion, something that I found to be reoccurring, and even in a few pastor sermons I looked into, is this warning from Paul. And I got it pulled up. It's not anything, you know, like to scare you. It's weighty, and what it is, it's like a self-examination. It's almost like an integrity-based, make sure you're good before you take part in this. You know, it encourages you to self-examine, to confess sins, even have a moment of repentance before this. Coming to it, with a repentant heart. It's 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. What does that mean to you as I read that?
I think that I have been in some services where it was a very clear warning given that communion is for believers. Communion is a meal that is reserved for Christians. If you are not a believing, practicing Christian, this is not for you. This is a part of our service where only the body gets to partake. And I have been in services with that. And what that means to me, an unbeliever can't do what you just read. An unbeliever can't examine themselves and be repentant the way that that verse tells us to. And I think that the whole point of communion is to remind us of the blood and of the body. The body being broken, the bread for our healing. Jesus's body was broken stripes on his back for our healing. Then, of course, the blood that atoned for our sins. This is what we're supposed to be doing, remembering, is that this is what Jesus did for us. So oftentimes when I lead communion, which I've had the privilege of doing multiple times, if I'm leading communion, I will instruct folks to take an inventory of their life, and if there's sin in their life, repent for it. And if there's ongoing sin that you don't have freedom or victory over, take this communion in faith that the Lord will bless you and grace you to be able to overcome this stronghold, this iniquity, these transgressions in your life. And, you know, you've been excited because I told you I had a story.
Yeah.
About I this.
I'm super pumped for it.
I have a story of someone receiving communion improperly once. And I probably should have called him, and I probably should have had him told me the story again so that I would be refreshed on the details. But I didn't.
Que sera, sera, homie.
Oh, we're Pentecostal speaking tongues up in here. So when my father was younger, he was in a service and communion was being taken. And as he was holding, while the preacher was talking, he was holding the communion elements and he was looking at it. And he was thinking about a sin in his life. And I won't go into details about what the sin was, but he was going into it and he was feeling condemnation. He was feeling shame. And instead of repenting for the sin, instead of accepting grace and allowing grace to cover him, he received communion feeling unworthy.
Oh.
He took the communion without repenting because he was so caught up in shame and being so beat up and condemned by the enemy that he received communion improperly. The moment it passed his lips, he heard a voice in his head say, "Let's see you get out of this one." Then began the hardest sickness battle for his life that he had ever been through. He thought he was going to die. I don't know the details about what specifically was going on, but I believe it involved a lot of bleeding from places there shouldn't be blood coming from, and a lot of other issues that he had to seriously fight spiritually, physically for his life as a result of receiving communion improperly. Now, obviously, this was a strategy from the enemy against him. The enemy was under spiritual attack. We saw that because he was being bombarded with shame and unworthiness while he's sitting there holding the communion elements. And then you can see the enemy was waiting for him to fall in the trap because he was ready to even gloat. Let's see you get out of this one. And it almost killed him.
I love that you said earlier, I don't want to oversell it. And now I'm sitting here like, dog, I think you undersold it.
So I'm not going to go so far as to say that this is everybody's experience when it comes to receiving communion properly. It is a experience that I think does denote the severity of receiving communion improperly. And what does it mean to receive it properly is to just come to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness and understand that it's not based on your worthiness. It's not based on your character. It's based, you're receiving communion based on the worthiness of the one whose blood you're drinking, of the one whose body you're receiving. It's not your righteousness you stand on. It's his.
I'm just going to read this because Corey just said that, and I think it's important that we do. Matthew 26, 26 through 28. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It's not a worthiness game, because if that were the case, yeah, none of us are worthy. Who the heck is worthy? And it's not coming to the table perfect. Coming to the table, communing, the Lord's Supper, call it what you want, but it's not about coming perfect. Otherwise, everyone in there would be struck down if that were the case. but it's about a self-check of spiritual integrity. It's honestly, you know what? I'll tell you this much. I'll be completely transparent. Before I take communion the next time, I will have a moment of repentance. I will go through my heart. I will do a spiritual check. I might even turn around and make a little altar right there in the pew, but I'm going to get my heart right, and then I'm going to go forward with this. And why? Why does it matter? Because we're doing it in remembrance of Him, and He's worth it. He's worth us coming to the table as right spiritually as we can be in our heart, in our spirit man, in our focus of our mind in that moment. He is worth everything you have to give. And this isn't a place for fear to come in. Don't approach communion at all fearful, because that's just the enemy trying to push you away from it, because something special happens. When we all come together, when we all take part in this declaration of faith and being thankful for what Jesus did, I hope that today or tonight, whenever you're listening, that Cora and I can help be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to sow a seed in you, for you to maybe take a step in what communion means to you and how you approach it. If you're new to the body and you haven't taken communion yet, well, that would be awesome for you to go to your first communion with this mindset. And maybe you're like me and you've been doing this for 31 years and you're just now having this revelation. Well, hey, better late than never, but He is worth it. Guys, we love you. We're grateful for you. Take these nuggets we have. Chew on them. Take care, y'all.